Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, part two of Free Agency Recap and Fantasy Football Impacts from Old Fashioned Football on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus.
We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA and NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
We're also brought to you by Champs. Run your own March Madness pool and enter Champs' free bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today.
We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Hey, what's up? This is Sam Acho, and you're listening to Old Fashioned Football.
Old Fashioned Football.
Make this deal right now, you pancake eating mother.
All right, deal.
Old-fashioned football.
Welcome to Old Fashioned Football. If you're wondering who you're listening to, this is J Mark. You can find me on the X at J Mark Football. And if you're wondering who us is, I've got to bring in my co-host on the pod and in life. You can find her on the X at the Mer Mark. You can find us at Old Fashioned FB. Mer, happy St. Paddy's Day. How you doing today?
Happy St. Paddy's Day. It's a great day.
It is a great day. A chance to celebrate our Irish heritage or an excuse to have more Irish whiskey than normal. One of the two.
One of the two.
Yeah, maybe both. We got the corned beef and cabbage cooking. I've been a fan for years. You have come around to it more recently.
I think I've come around to a lot more things since we've known each other. Knock it off.
Out of control already.
Yeah, you cooked it once and you always cooked it. Even when we were dating, you made that on St. Patrick's Day. And I remember in our first apartment, I was like, oh, okay. Well, you eat that. I'm eating something different. But no, it's good. I tried it. I don't know how many years ago. Maybe seven. I tried it.
Something like that.
We make it every year. It's good.
It is good. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the free agency recap. Mm-hmm. We did quarterbacks and running backs on Thursday. If you missed that, go back and listen to it. We're recapping and kind of letting you know fantasy football impacts here. So not just recapping. And then we're going to be reviewing a very special Irish whiskey.
Yes,
we got our Irish old fashions that you made as well.
Yeah, and I've got my, I don't know if this is just for good luck or what, but I'm carrying a little mini Jameson bottle around today.
I thought maybe you're going to chug it on the pod. I wasn't sure. Just no.
No, not I don't plan? Know. No, this is my pretty Jameson bottle.
Well, we could buy you another. They still make them, as it turns out.
I don't know what it is, but when you get like a mini alcohol bottle that's in glass, it's just like,
you like it.
Bougie.
Bougie. Well, some news has broke since we last got together, and I want to just get it out of the way.
Yeah, I thought we should probably talk about this first.
Yes.
You've been very emotional. I'm upset. Yes. Like, I'm not showing it like you. You're walking around the house, like, making comments here or there.
Head down.
Where I know you're still thinking about Justin Fields and this news. And when you told me yesterday, because you've been doing this. You've been doing this where, like, oh, so-and-so traded. And when you told me yesterday, I ignored you.
Yes.
Because I thought you were joking.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been doing this kind of shit to me.
Well, and when you look at the terms of the trade, it sounds like a fucking joke too, if you ask me. It's been a weird 48 hours as a Bears fan. Mm-hmm. I think you probably remember you were working.
Has it even been 48 hours?
Well,
oh, wait, no.
Since Friday, it has been. Can I finish this? I'm talking to America here. Friday, I'm sure you can remember how pumped up and excited I was talking to you. You were still working in your office. Mm-hmm. I yelled out, yes, or something, or some enjoyment, because Keenan Allen was traded to the Bears for a fourth round. And it was like, holy shit, that is DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Are you kidding me?
We're going to be talking about this in a little bit.
I know. We'll talk about him. And then yesterday, the news hit that Justin Fields was traded. Or was it Thursday and Friday that it
happened? No, it was yesterday.
Yesterday.
The Jay Fields stuff was yesterday.
So, yeah. Traded for a 2025 sixth round.
Sixth round.
Like, yes. Not even this year. If he plays over 51% of the snaps, then it will be a fourth rounder. But Pittsburgh's already said Russell Wilson's our starter. So I don't get it. I mean, obviously we're drafting Caleb Williams. I mean, I think that's
no, what hypothetically, because you also said you were just so sure the Bears are keeping Fields. Hypothetically, what if it's like the draft year with Mahomes and Mitch Trubisky and we pass on?
If we take Drake May, who is essentially, in my opinion, the Mitch Trubisky of this draft, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to pretend to be excited about Caleb Williams, because you have all heard me on record on the podcast bitch about Caleb Williams, put him down, say I didn't want him on the Bears. I'm not going to get excited, but I am going to read you some stats real quick here.
Okay.
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 So this is looking at stats from last 2 years of college football.
Mm-hmm.
Player A had, let's say, 396 completions. Okay. 68% completion percentage, 5,373 passing yards, a 9.2 average, 63 passing touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and 5 rush touchdowns. I know it's hard to keep all that in your head when it's not written down.
Mm-hmm.
Player B had 599 completions, so 203 more, a 67.6%, 0.4% completion rate off. 8,170 passing yards, so almost 3,000 more passing yards, 9.25 average, 72 passing touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and 11 rushing touchdowns.
Is player B Caleb Williams?
Player B is Caleb Williams.
Okay. I was going to say, I know that.
And player A is Justin Fields.
Did not have that many passing yards.
No, player A was Justin Fields. So if you're looking at it from that, he threw for almost 3,000 more yards, about the same completion percentage and 200 more completions. I don't know.
In college,
yes. Who knows how that's going to translate. But this is the best landing spot for a 101 pick, the first pick of the draft, since Andrew Luck. I mean, you have DJ Moore. You have Keenan Allen. You got DeAndre Swift. That defense has been better. Mm-hmm. Cole Kmet. They brought in Gerald Everett as a red zone target. This has to be the best offense that anybody has stepped into as a first draft pick. Because normally the first draft pick, you're on a team that sucks, right? But we have this from the Panthers, the team that sucks. So he's got no excuses not to succeed, in my
opinion. Unless
you
don't pick him. I'm just like, I'm
waiting for us to trade out of it.
Just the disappointment as a Bears fan that we tend to feel.
I'll try to wrap my head around the Caleb Williams, and I'll try to look for some positivity, and then they don't pick him.
What if that's not happening?
I would take Daniels out of LSU, Jaden Daniels. I like him a lot. I think he has some injury concerns for me, but I do like him. But I think if that's the route they were going to go, they would have kept Fields because of his injury concerns. So
I don't know. I'm just so disappointed because, like everybody's heard me say, I don't feel like we were using Fields correctly. We weren't using him to his talent. We weren't building the offense like we've been making improvements to our offense, but I don't feel like we're building around him necessarily to let
him. We weren't running the right offense for him. That's what it was. Our coaching staff has sucked at that. Luke Getsy, I mean, he was terrible. The only claim to fame he had was that he coached Aaron Rodgers in Rodgers last year at Green Bay, or last 2 years. Does Aaron Rodgers need coaching at this point in his career? No.
He didn't do shit.
Exactly. So I never got that. Speaking of. Go ahead.
Done.
All right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that we were giving Pittsburgh our sloppy seconds again.
No, I have Mitch. That didn't work out. They cut Mitch. Have Jay Fields. Maybe that'll work better for you.
I don't know. I hate that we did it, but.
Okay. What if, what if nobody was going to trade for this number one pick because they're like, well, either they have Fields and they're not drafting Caleb Williams, who we would want to trade for, so they're not going to draft him. So what if they trade Fields away? So now everybody's like, oh, they are going for Caleb Williams. And now they're going to make a trade out of that number one pick because somebody wants Williams. Fields will hypothetically be a free agent next year, and they're just taking an off year to get more draft pick, and they're bringing him back.
No,
no,
That's too crazy. Too crazy, Justin.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, the biggest free agency move that I did not expect.
Yes, we didn't say this last week.
Was that Rodgers could be transferring to the White House. I guess he's potentially running for VP with Kennedy on the third party. I got no words.
Does he just not play? Like, is he campaigning? Like,
you can't be a vice president and play football, can you?
Well, no, but even campaigning, because just
right.
The chances of a third party being elected anyway.
Right.
But like, right. I'm saying, even campaigning, does he just like go to a football game and then get back out there?
Also, like, not a lot of people like Rodgers. Why would you want him as your pick? He's not necessarily a popular person. No. Unless you're a diehard Packer fan that loved him, which we know Packer fans that did not love him, or you're a hopeful Jet fan who likes Rodgers. His family hates him.
Okay, calm down. Okay.
What are we drinking today?
We are drinking Red Breast Irish Whiskey Lustau. Lustau edition.
Yeah, no.
A very special bottle that was given to us.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll get into all that. Just shout out to the chat real quick. If you're not in there, youtube.com/oldfashionedfootball, come check us out. But Rodgers in the White House, I would need to move to Canada. unfortunately, Canada has really strict guidelines for moving to their country, so they wouldn't even let us in. Just preview, if you missed us last week, we're going to be talking about the free agent that moved, like if their stock is up or down. We're going to be talking about players affected on the new team, whether it's good or bad. And players on the team they left affected, whether it's good or bad. And we always talk about half PPR points because we meet you in the middle, right? I believe that's how you worded it last week. And yeah, I liked it. I like that, meet in the middle. But before we get to all that and all the moves, we've got to let you know that we're brought to you by the Merch Madness. That's right. 15% off everything in the merch store with promo code MADNESS. And go get yourself an old-fashioned football t-shirt or hat or beer drinking glass. You could have been using that today to drink your green beer or just your Guinness. I think I would prefer a Guinness over a light beer with green chemical food coloring in it. But neither here nor there, go over to the merch store, sg.pn/store. Maybe get yourself a first half unders or a storm the court so you can storm the court when your team wins. Don't forget to use promo code MADNESS for 15% off. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Look, this is easy. You just put your bet out there. Somebody takes it. If you win, you get money because Cut handles the payment side. You don't have to chase anybody down looking for old Ricky in a back alley because he's hiding from you. He dodged out the back of the bar. You don't have to do that anymore. And plus, you get rewards, cash back every single time you make a bet. It is great. And I gave this out on Thursday. We can't do Cut here, but if I could do Cut, I would go over and I would run over there, pun intended, and set something up for the Ravens to have the most total rushing yards next season. Just download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's KUTT.com and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And of course, we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is amazing. It's a great fantasy football place where you just have to pick higher or lower on a stat total for your favorite players. You pick between 2 and 5. I hope they have the UFL because we'll be giving those out. You could also make rival picks, which player is going to have more or less. Just sign up today with promo code OFFSUPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pickup special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code OFFSUPN. Helps us out a ton, and we appreciate it. Get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pickup special. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right. Should we jump right into the receivers?
Let's do it. I'm gonna start us with Keenan Allen. Since we've already talked a lot about this, there's just so much I want to say here.
I'm super excited that we have Keenan Allen. It's just now it's being like overshadowed by this Jay Field stuff.
You got to get over it.
I'm still pumped.
It's done. You can't change it.
Is this like when I broke my ankle and you're like, you're fine. Just get over it.
No.
Get up. You're fine.
I didn't know you broke your ankle. We know Fields is straight.
Touche.
Okay. No, Keenan Allen, he finished as wide receiver 8 last year. We have, like, I am so excited about this because we now have 2 top 10 wide receivers.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen this in, like, finishing top 10 since we recapped the 2022 fantasy season where there was, we had AJ Brown and Devonta Smith with the Eagles, but we had 2 teams that had 2 top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle.
The Waddler.
So now we've got another team that has 2 top 10 from finishing from the previous season.
Yeah. I mean, it would be great if they could. Mm-hmm. It's hard to gauge right now because, you know, you got a rookie quarterback. We don't know what his ceiling will be, no matter who it is. We don't know what the ceiling will be.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love the move for the Bears in general. For fantasy football, though, are they going to get in each other's way? Or do you think they still could finish in that top 12? They're both wide receiver ones.
I love Keenan Allen. The Chargers have ruined one of my fantasy teams because I was stacked for the Chargers and they've ruined it. I think my contracts are ending though, so yeah. I have to double check, so I might be safe there. But I had Allen, I had Williams,
who they cut.
I had Eckler.
Yeah, who's on the Commanders now? Yeah, I mean So if you look at from the Bears, mm-hmm. I mean, I think going from a rookie quarterback with an unknown ceiling to Justin Herbert, probably a downgrade for right now. And you're coming in where they already have DJ Moore.
Mm-hmm.
But as you alluded to for the Chargers, what are they? I mean, they don't have Keenan Allen. They traded him. They cut Mike Williams. Their next target was Gerald Everett. He's on the Bears now, too. What are they doing? I mean,
they're cleaning house.
They are. They drafted Quentin Johnston last mm-hmm. year, but he was terrible. He was just terrible. Dropping balls, couldn't get separation on the field. Terrible. I don't know that. I don't know what they're doing. Jim Harbaugh taking over, acting like he knows what he's doing, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Cause Allen had 24% of their target share last year.
Yeah.
So this just opened like a huge gap in this Chargers offense losing him. I don't know. It is not the same offense this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's been such a high powered offense in fantasy for years.
Yeah.
And now it's like, whoever they do fill those gaps in, are you taking them? Are you drafting them? Are you taking a chance? Or is this just a like, I don't know whether you take the chance. I mean, we'll know closer to the season for auction value and all of that. Like that'll be interesting to see. If I can get them low dollar, I'm probably going to go for them.
Right.
But it's
as like a flex piece.
Yeah.
Because they do still have Herbert throwing the ball. Jim Harbaugh,
who is I still coach. Have. I had Herbert. I had all of them. I had their offense team. And I did so well with them. So it's just really changed my fantasy team there.
Yeah. For the Bears, DJ Moore, he had 27% of the target share last year. Kolkman had 18%. Mooney was third with 12%. Mooney is gone. Keenan Allen's going to get more than 12% of the target share, I would think, as long as he's healthy. So I don't know. This is, you were saying you think they're still wide receiver ones.
I think it gives us a more, like I feel like our offense has been just spread out. It's like you never know which Bears player, aside from DJ Moore, if any, you really couldn't start anybody else because there were too many. It was just hit and miss on who was going to get the targets. There wasn't anything steady.
Well, kind of like everybody else sucked, basically.
But now I feel like you have two targets who are going to be fine. And we've seen it in the past where there's two top 10 wide receivers in there. Well, depending on the quarterback, that this is the big thing for me.
Right.
But you've seen, but you've got two top 10 quarterbacks on an offense and they stay top 10, like they're top 10.
Right. I think I foresee the fact that you're going to get Keenan Allen and DJ Moore in the leagues that we're in together. Cause for me, I'm grading him as a wide receiver two for right now. That's probably my hesitation to be any bit excited that we're going to get baby Williams on the team, now, but
dynasty.
Yeah. Dynasty DJ Moore has much better value. Keenan Allen is 31. But I still think he's got a lot of ball left.
I think he does.
Yeah. That was a smart trade by Poles because tell me a fourth rounder that's going to be as good as Keenan Allen is right now.
Right off the bat, no. Nope.
But the other trade was not smart by Poles, in my opinion. So, final answer, you think they're both wide receiver.
You're not there. You don't know what's going on in that offense. You just sit back as a fan. You have no idea the discussions and the problems that they have.
Super Bowls I have as a GM of the Madden teams? I mean, I know what I'm talking about here.
Okay. Moving on.
Moving on. Should we talk about Gabe Davis?
Yes.
He left the Bills, went to the Jags. He was wide receiver 40 last year. I don't know. I mean, for me, I don't know if that changes a lot. He's still in that wide receiver / flex area for me. I mean, you go from Trevor Lawrence to, you go to Trevor Lawrence, sorry, from Josh Allen, which is good. But I don't know. Gabe Davis has been so inconsistent in the past. And the Jaguars did lose Ridley. So that opens up 22% of the target share. I just don't know if that's going to be Gabe Davis's to fill. I'm sure they're excited about him. Are you a Davis fan? Are you drafting him? Or is he just like a wide receiver 3/ flex for you?
A 3 flex.
Yeah, same. Same. I mean, and he could end up getting like, we just said Ridley had 22%, even though Christian Kirk was injured most of that. But he could still get 20%, which is up from his 14%. But I don't know if I like it. How about the Bills? I mean, obviously, they still have Diggs, but you no longer have a guy that's proven. You have Khalil Shakir, who started coming on.
Yes.
But I think there's probably somebody else that they signed.
Yes.
Could be sneaky.
Curtis Samuel.
Yes. Yeah. You think so, too?
I think so. I mean, he goes from the Commanders to the Bills, from Sam Howell. Josh Allen. That's a pretty huge upgrade at quarterback. A
little bit of a difference.
Just a smidge. Yeah. No, but I think he could be like a sneaky pickup.
Yeah.
Kind of under like, the radar.
Yeah. A wide receiver too, maybe some weeks, depending on the matchup. But for sure, like a really good flex piece that probably not a lot of people are going to be thinking about unless they're listening to us. So find your friends that don't listen to us, smack them in the face and ask them to listen to us, but also pick up Curtis Samuel first.
Now, this next guy, we kind of touched on him a little bit last week. He came up even though we were covering.
Yeah, just because it was trade news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jerry Jeudy to the Browns. Now, Judge he finished Jeudy. Wide receiver 50. He may be slightly better, but I feel like Davis, he's still going to be in that wide receiver flex range for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wide receiver 3 flex range. I don't even think I finished that sentence.
Well, yeah. You're on the clock. Gabe Davis or Jerry Jeudy? Do you have? I have a preference.
Who's your preference?
My preference is Gabe Davis because of Trevor Lawrence. You know me. I don't trust Deshaun Watson. I just don't. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper is the guy on the Browns that's going to still be the guy. So I don't know. Jeudy is, he's another guy that's really inconsistent. He'll have good games and flashes, but he also has these games where he drops easy passes and everything. So I don't know. I'm not a fan of the move. I mean, they didn't have to give up much for him, at least. No. I mean, there is that. So,
yes.
So we said Amari Cooper. Elijah Moore is on the Browns, too. I think that's who that affects on the Browns the most.
And last year, his target share was 16%.
Yeah.
And I feel like I could see that dropping maybe 10, 12% range.
Yeah. As Jeudy comes in and steals
maybe
some
gets
of it.
Like 15%.
Yeah. Yep. I like that.
Yeah. I don't think it's enough to make Jeudy like a must grab person.
Yeah, agreed. And then the Broncos, I mean, they still have Cortland Sutton, but who knows who's throwing the ball to him? Is it Jarrett Stidham? I think the person that is affected the most here is Marvin Mims. Yeah, he was injured last year. We heard PSR host guy on X. We heard him at the Fantasy Expo say that Marvin Mims was going to be like the next big thing and whatnot. Didn't happen last year, but maybe this is the year.
Is this the year?
I mean, Jeudy left open 17% of a target share. So maybe, maybe.
Oh.
And the last guy, before we take a quick break here, Mike Evans re-signed with the Bucks, just like Baker did. We kind of talked when he got signed, we broke the news and we said, we think they're running it back. We thought Baker would be back because of this. This is a good move for Evans and for the Bucks.
Yes. He finished wide receiver 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's his ceiling.
Yeah. I don't think he,
that's his ceiling.
Do you still put him in top 12 this year?
I think so.
I do too.
I'm thinking so.
I do too. I don't think he's going to get up to 5. Honestly.
He's not going to be top 1 through 5.
Right. But I'm okay having him as my wide receiver 1. I don't think he'll be that top guy. So, real quick before we keep going, got to let you know that we're brought to you by Champs, and Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. A free entry? Let's do it. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so you got to go over there and register now so you don't miss out. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. Okay. Let's talk about this next guy that was a bit of a surprise. You want to take it?
I'll let you.
All right. Calvin Ridley, who turned down more money from the Jags and the Patriots to go to the Titans because he said he felt like he could be a guy that takes over there. Take over from DeAndre Hopkins? What are you smoking, man? I mean, I know he's a gambler and he's gambling on himself there, but I guess Hopkins might not have a lot of days left. That might be not for living. I mean, for
playing. How old he is? How old is Hopkins?
33 maybe.
Yeah. I think he's towards the end.
Yeah. I'll look real quick, but, Ridley finished wide receiver 17. I don't see him getting any better than that.
That's not what you would have said at the beginning of last season.
I know. I was so stoked on Ridley, but I don't see him getting better than that. What do you think?
No, it's hard for me too. But you never know. I mean, he thinks he's going to go in and be number what?
Hopkins is only 31. That's Keenan Allen's age, so I can't put him down.
All right. Well, how old is Calvin Ridley?
Well,
is he
Calvin
Why
Ridley?
Why does he feel old to me?
Because he's been around a long time. It's just he took a year off for his mental health, and then he was suspended for gambling. So he's had like 2 years where he didn't play and was fresh before he was reinstated. Maybe he might have been suspended 2 years actually. But let me look up his age real quick for you. 29. So he's not much younger.
I mean, both past their prime. These are both wide receivers who are past that. Like 26 is the sweet spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. 26, 27. Let's include DJ Moore at 27 years of age.
He might be coming off of his sweet spot. Maybe he's not going to be top 10 this year.
You just argued that he would be, so don't be flip-flopping now.
I factored age into there.
So Hopkins had 28% of the target share, which is a lot. I mean, that's insane. The next wide receiver on their list was Chris Moore with 11%. I think Hopkins' target share drops some as Ridley comes in. They could be guys where they get close to 20 to 25 each, mm-hmm. don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah. And the Jags are unaffected.
Because they signed
Davis. They signed Davis, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think he's as good as Ridley will be, but I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah.
I agree with you there. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. All right. We've also got Hollywood Brown.
Who Marquise I know you will Brown. Be drafting because you it's draft tempting. All Chiefs players.
Hey, they're building a dynasty. Did you not hear Mahomes? This is just the beginning.
He said, I love you, Miss Piggy. Oh, that was Kermit. I get the two confused. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
No, he finished as wide receiver 52 last year. So he goes from Josh Dobbs, Kyler Murray throwing to him to Patrick Mahomes, who can make anybody look amazing.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. 100%
so
agree.
I feel like this is huge for Brown and his career to like turn mm-hmm. it around.
Yeah, because he had a good year in 2021.
Back then, wide receiver 23.
Yeah, with Lamar throwing to him on a run heavy Ravens mm-hmm. team. So obviously Mahomes, the best quarterback he's had throwing to him. I don't know. I like this landing spot for him.
Yeah. I'm interested.
He's in a 12 person.
What happens with it?
Yeah. In a 12 person league, he is top 24 for me. So he's a wide receiver too.
So you're bringing him up from 52 all the way up to 24.
Back in that wide receiver 23 range. Mm-hmm. I think so.
I think if somebody's going to do it for him, it's Mahomes.
Yeah.
So,
well, of course. If Mahomes can't do it, nobody can. Maybe Caleb Williams. Just kidding. I'm not optimistic. No.
So, I mean, the Chiefs, they have Travis Kelce. They have Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
This
hurts Rashee's ceiling a little, doesn't it? I mean, he's the guy that really came on last year.
He did.
Just a little. Make him a dud, but I think it hurts that outlook for the next year just a little bit. Thoughts?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm wrong. You can't ask You're me about... No, I was about to say I'm wrong, but I took it back and I was going to say, you can't ask me about Chiefs wide receivers because I'm biased. And then doesn't always pan out for me.
I'm sorry. All I heard on St. Patrick's Day of 2024, no, Miranda was wrong.
I took it back immediately. I didn't even put the G on it.
Real quick. Dad's saying, speaking of Ridley and gambling, is that why he signed with the Titans? High Vegas odds against that. Yeah, I think it was like 18-1 for him to go to the mm-hmm. Titans. Maybe he placed a big old wager or had his friend place a big old wager and then signed with him. He's playing the long game there.
Oh, my goodness.
For the Cardinals, I mean, Marquise leaving opens up 18% of the target mm-hmm. share.
Michael Wilson?
Maybe. Yeah, he had 10% last year. I just don't know if he's the dude. My main concern there is I think the stars are aligning for the Cardinals to draft Marvin Harrison Jr., who is going to be a freak athlete. It's going to be like DeAndre Hopkins in his young days for them. And so the current receivers probably will stay about where they're at. And this is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr.'s team.
That'd be exciting.
Yeah.
For him.
Oh my gosh. You know what I just thought of?
What?
You know, our startup dynasty super flex with Cody that Cody was running. Guess who I drafted in the first round as my quarterback? Justin Fields, a backup quarterback now.
Oh, this affects a lot of people who already started like drafts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we did that right at the end of last season.
And who would have thought at the end of last season that Justin Fields is now a backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Tell me where you saw that happening.
I can't believe that. I have Justin Fields and Baker Mayfield as my quarterbacks. Oh, I do have Will Levis, I guess. So at least I have two starters, Baker Mayfield and Will Levis. Let me tell you how much that inspires me. Anyways, Darnell Mooney, ex-Bear, mm-hmm. went to the Falcons. He finished wide receiver 83 last year.
Way down there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as a biased Bears fan, I think he's trash. However.
How do you really feel, Justin? Yeah,
PFF, Pro Football Focus, they agree with me because their grade for him last year was 55.2, 100 being the highest. So they kind of think he's trash too. And to put that in perspective, all the wide receivers in this year's draft, Lydia Trick, I believe is how you say his name. He goes by Tulu Griffin from Mississippi State, who's projected to be selected in the sixth or seventh round. has a higher rating than that from them. So mm-hmm. that's how bad they thought he was.
So he's not going to be stealing targets from London or Pitts.
No, no, mm-hmm. not at all. Kirk Cousins probably is going to look at him and laugh and not even throw his way.
And so coming from the Bears team, how the Bears are impacted, we got Keenan Allen. we're golden.
Do I want Keenan Allen or do I want Darnell Mooney? I think I'll take Keenan Allen, please. I don't care if he's older.
Yes.
The only other thing we're waiting on wide receiver wise
is Mike Williams.
Yeah, he was cut. You know, he did tear his ACL last year. Mm-hmm. I assume maybe he's not healthy yet. Maybe that's why he hasn't been signed up yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You would think
people are waiting to see how.
Yeah, because he's a younger guy and he's a true X receiver that you would think somebody would sign him right away. So he must not be quite healthy. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard this narrative a lot on the internet after he got cut. Well, good. They cut the injury-prone guy. I thought that, too. I thought Mike Williams was injury-prone. I looked back at the game log. He's only missed 7 full games aside from this last year tearing his ACL. That's not injury-prone. I don't know why it sticks out that Mike Williams always gets injured, but that's not the case. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Really, yeah. Just 7 full games mm-hmm. over how many?
Over, I think, 5 seasons, not counting last year. So 4 seasons. I think last year was his 5th season.
That's interesting. Maybe because he's such a talented wide receiver. If you're relying on him, I guess, maybe it sticks out because.
Yeah, he was your wide receiver 1 and then mm-hmm. he misses time or whatever. Yeah. Speaking of the Chargers real quick, Keenan Allen was talking on the fact that they approached him and asked him to take a pay cut. And he wanted to spend the rest. He thought he would end his career for the Chargers, but they asked him to take a pay cut and he said, no, he said, I said no, because I'm coming off my best season. Why would I take a pay cut when I come off my best season? And I mean, you got to respect that a little bit because mm-hmm. why would he? He shouldn't have to take a pay cut just because they messed up their cap.
That's true.
I mean, especially being the contributor he is. But Jay Fields also wanted to stay the whole career with Chicago and that didn't happen. So.
I'm just going to warn everybody listening. You're still going to be making Jay Fields comments halfway into next season.
Probably. Stick with us though. I'll get over it eventually. I did say for me to accept Caleb Williams, he's going to need to beat the Packers and lead us to a winning season. And then I will accept him. I did watch some clips today trying to get myself pumped. And if you take away the fact that I love Justin Fields and take away the fact that I'm out on Caleb Williams and just kind of take those blinders off, like watching the highlights is very impressive. But I'm not going to be a hypocrite and just jump onto it and be like, oh, I'm so excited, because we know I'm not.
We know I'm not. The world knows you're not.
Yeah. Why don't you tell people where they can make smarter bets?
You can do that over on Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value.
Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. This is hilarious. So my mother says, now my Jay Fields jersey is a dusting cloth and I hate to clean. right there with you. I got a Fields jersey and it can sit next to my Eric Kramer and Rex Grossman. And I don't think I had a Mitch Trubisky one, did I? I ended up buying Khalil Mack instead because I was like, I was done buying quarterback jerseys for a while, but Fields just excited.
I haven't gotten a Bears jersey in a long time because there's too much turnover all the way around.
Yeah, your last one was Forte, wasn't it?
And that year, I had it for a year and then we got rid of Forte.
I know.
No, Urlacher was like,
yeah,
you know, for the longest time, you could always wear.
Yeah, Urlacher. You still can. I mean,
you still can.
He retired a Bear technically. So,
yes.
Are you going to buy a Caleb Williams jersey? No.
No, I won't do it. No, if... I don't know. Fields, I was somebody I was seriously considering getting a jersey on because he's the real deal to me. He has so much talent. I just didn't see us like
if Caleb getting rid of him. Williams looks like Patrick Mahomes this year.
We're going to fuck it up. Do you not?
That's fair.
We just ruined quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Tell me the last quarterback we've had. I was so excited about Justin Fields and all of his potential and his talent. Tell me the last quarterback the Bears have had who has been successful, who the media has liked, who the fans have liked. Just tell me. Ever since you've made me a Bears fan years and years ago, Justin. And
force you into it.
But I know, but it like I...
But we're going to have some serious talks if you decide you're not.
Like, ever since becoming a Bears fan, yes. When I first got into football with you.
Yes. So the last success... I was ready to answer your question when you said the last successful and the fan base liked, but then you said the media liked, and that dropped it for me, because Jim McMahon, back when we won the Super Bowl, would be the guy, but the media hated him.
Okay, well... I mean,
we're living in the past. Let's talk about these tight ends so we can drink some whiskey.
Let's do this.
All right.
We've got Zach Ertz going to the Commanders.
I love this move.
Yeah,
I did.
We talked about him last week. He's back with Cliff Kingsbury. Why is that like not sounding right to me? Anyway, who was the head coach at Arizona when Ertz had some really good years?
Yeah.
In the top 10 range of tight ends.
Yeah. Fantasy football top 10. I was looking back at the stats and it's crazy to think how good he was for a while. I mean, you had 3, 5, 7, 10. I mean, he was relevant. He's old now. I get that.
Yes.
But I love this landing spot for him.
And last year, their top tight end, Logan Thomas, had an 8% target share. Curtis Samuel is now gone. He had 10% of the target share. So that leaves like 18. That's 18% there.
Yeah.
Ertz could.
I think he
He should be able to come in and take some from both of them.
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. I like him. If you decide to wait on a tight end, I think he could have sneaky value.
He could sneaky value.
Yeah.
This is it. Like, we need all these players we're talking about. We're like sneaky. We need to start highlighting them as the sneaky players because, when we circle back to like the drafts, this coming season, I feel like Ertz is a sneaky tight end. I'm not going to say he's going to be top 5 tight end relevancy,
right,
where you got to invest in him, but I just think he could be sneaky.
But if you're in a 12 team league, I think he could be top 12.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not investing in the top 5 to have a really good tight end,
you could pick up Ertz.
Yeah.
I would not pick up this next guy, the last tight end we're going to talk about, Gerald Everett on the Bears. Mm-hmm. He finished tight end 24. I don't think he's going to do any better than that per se. I like this move because he's a really good red zone target. He adds something else to our offense. I don't like it though, as a Cole Kmet fantasy manager that loves Cole Kmet. I love to draft Cole Kmet. Nobody ever likes Cole Kmet really. I mean, he tends to fall, but he's finished tight end 7 the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to take some of those red zone targets away from him. We won't see him hitting his baseball as much. That's his celebration. We won't see that as much because I do think Everett's going to take some of that. And plus they have Keenan Allen now. But this is another guy that the Chargers no longer have.
And we talked about this a tiny bit, but I don't think they're going to miss him a lot.
No,
they could end up taking a tight end in the draft.
Yeah.
Or they're going to need a receiver too. They're going to need to make up a lot in this draft.
They pick at number 5.
So
I've seen Malik Nabers out of LSU, the wide receiver, go to him. And then I've seen Brock Bowers, Josh's guy out of Georgia, go to them in mock drafts. So I don't know. I think you have to take a wide receiver, though, over a tight end.
You've got to.
Yeah.
Because that offense is not like we haven't seen tight ends in that offense like be the stars. That they were an offense that could support both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen having extreme fantasy relevancy for wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, the last relevant tight end from the Chargers I can remember is Antonio Gates. And that was a while ago. Mm-hmm. their current top tight end, Donald Parham Jr., who has a place in my heart because he had success in the 2020 version of the XFL. He was a stud. That just reminds me to pitch the UFL show just a little bit. The XFL and the USFL have combined.
They've done a merger.
And the merger has resulted in Colby Dant, CJ Sullivan, and myself breaking down the gambling aspect of that every year. So if you want something else to gamble on, missing football, check out the UFL, check out the UFL gambling pod. But Donald Parham's not much more than just a red zone target every now and then. So
I would agree with
they
that.
Need to do something. Should we talk about this whiskey?
Yeah, that concludes tight ends. Very short list.
I know there was not much relevancy with tight ends this year, in the draft. Even I mean, aside from Brock Bowers, there's nobody that's going to make a huge impact, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it's St. Patrick's Day.
It is St. Patrick's Day.
In case you didn't know,
and I made you. I told everybody, I told him I was going to pinch him because he had this like, this is like light olivey green and black. And you had this like really gray green shirt on that was barely green. And I told you, it just doesn't count.
I do have trouble with colors, you know, but I did find this. But yeah, now for those of you that have always just had Irish whiskey or drank green beer, St. Patty's Day, it was originally a religious service and a feast.
A feast in honor of St. Patrick.
Yeah. Patron saint.
Yeah. One of Ireland's Ireland. Patron saints.
Yeah. But when Irish immigrants brought traditions here to the U.S., we're like, hey, let's just celebrate the whole Irish culture. Let's wear a lot of green, have shamrocks, and drink a lot of beer.
Dress leprechauns.
Dress like leprechauns.
Carry around a pot of gold.
Pretend like you're Irish. You know, you walk around talking like this. Happy St. Patrick's Day. But they have a huge festival in Dublin. It's a five-day event about Irish and international entertainments. And it's got a huge street carnival held on St. Patrick's Day with parades along O'Connell Street, the center of Ireland. And so, yeah, just wanted to point out that it's not just a day of drinking. It is a important St. Patrick is a patron saint, and it was started as a religious thing. Mm-hmm. And just real quick, before we get into other whiskey, huge shout out to our good friends at Keeper's Heart.
Yes.
Their Irish blended whiskey, whether it's blended with the rye or the bourbon, is amazing. You've heard us talk about it. We're big fans of it.
I haven't. I like everything they make.
Yeah.
And there are still like bottles of their stuff that I haven't gotten. I don't own. I want.
Yeah. And the maple for sure.
The maple.
Yeah. And we thought about doing them today, like reviewing one of theirs, but we've had this one for a while.
Yep. A very special bottle.
Yeah. I'll grab it real quick. Why don't you say where we got it?
We got it from your parents for Christmas.
Yeah. And it was technically for our 100th episode. So if you can see, there's a little bit of a glare. Episode 100, if you're looking on YouTube, is etched on it, which is very, very cool.
This is before they knew we were doing our 100 proof blind tastings.
Yes.
On our 100.
This was not 100 proof, so it didn't make it, but we've been waiting for kind of the right day to do it. And then we're like, oh, we should do St. that on St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. And speaking of Keeper's Heart, you got our little Keeper's Heart Glencairns with a hat. Nonetheless,
it's just like so.
You
so fancy.
Wanted a hat on it.
I wanted the hat.
Yours is right behind your computer there. Sorry. Why don't you talk about their history? I'll get us some pours and I'll start sniffing and chewing my whiskey.
All right. So as we said, we are drinking Redbreast Single Pot Still Irish Whiskey, the Lustow Edition. So just a little bit of history on the distillery. The company making this was originally called W&A Gilby, and they started back in 1857, listed as a wine importer and distiller. And then they started making spirits in 1874 after their move to Dublin. And by 1875, they were making almost a million bottles a year, 996,000 bottles a year, and were the largest stocks of Irish whiskey.
It seems like a massive amount for late 1800s.
Where are these being stored?
Right?
That's what I want to know.
In people's bellies. I think people were drinking them.
But by the early 1900s, W&A Gilby were marketing Jameson. As Jameson was aging their sherry casks and storing in Gilby's warehouse. Huge ass warehouse if it's holding a million barrels. But anyway, the first reference to
bottles, million bottles, not barrels.
Oh yeah, for whatever reason I was thinking barrels, barrels. Bottles. I guess we need to do the math.
Do the math.
How many bottles come out of a barrel? 30
70 something. Yeah,
because like 35 in one of those like half barrels.
Yeah, like 70 something, depends, angel share and all that, there's different 100? factors, but like 70 is like usually if you buy a barrel, they
it
say
still seems like a lot of barrels, but
yeah, it is.
Anyway, interesting stat that they would give us that instead of barrels. Interesting. I just have to ponder this for a minute. But anyway, they began selling Redbreast John Jameson Liqueur Whiskey 12 Year.
Which you probably recognize that name, Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
15,323 barrels. 15,000.
That doesn't seem like a lot now.
I don't know. We have that barrel downstairs and how heavy it is. Now think of 15,000
like,
of
yeah,
those.
But people will turn over like 10,000 a year.
I just, for the late 1800s, to me, it just seems massive. I don't know.
So anyway, in 1964, Redbreast was being bottled in approximately 4,000 gallons.
I don't have the barrel to gallon ratio there for you. Yeah. Sorry.
And the bottling of Redbreast under the Gilby's banner was in 1985, where they decided to sell the name brand to Irish distillers. Mm-hmm. And then in 1991, when I was 1 year old, Redbreast was reintroduced by Irish Distillers Limited. The Middleton Distillery was now maturing in the best available sherry and bourbon casks.
Yeah. And that's when the Jameson portion of it kind of dropped off, mm-hmm, because it, after that sell.
Yeah. So today, Redbreast is the largest selling single pot Irish whiskey in the world.
Which surprised me. I mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
But yeah, when we looked that up, I was like, really? I'm going to talk about what we're drinking specifically while you do your sniffing and tasting.
My sniff and taste. Yeah,
I've given a little bit of mine, but I want you to do yours before I throw things out. So the Robin Redbreast, it's the only bird which sings continuously throughout the dark Irish winters and is one of the very few small birds that chooses to winter in Ireland, which is really cool. And that's why they decided to name their whiskey the Redbreast Irish Whiskey, for that bold little spirit of that little tiny bird that decides to stick around. Now, they don't have Iowa type winters, but still it gets colder. This is a single pot still whiskey like we talked about, and they take pride in keeping traditional Irish traditions when it comes to fermentation, distillation, maturation. I feel like I'm getting ready to rap. Blending and bottling, the fermentation, distillation, maturation. That'll be the end of my rapping career there. So this is part of the Iberian series of whiskeys, which is, it's not new, but it's a little bit new form, where they're finished in casks sourced from the sun-drenched bodegas of Spain and Portugal. And what we're drinking today is in collaboration between the Bodegas Lestau, which is where the Lestau edition comes in, and the Middleton Distillery. The Redbreast Lestau edition is made from a mash of malted and unmalted barleys, triple distilled like most Irish whiskeys are in copper pot stills, and spends its final maturation in casks seasoned with Oloroso sherry in the Bodegas Lestau, which results in what they refer to as the ultimate sherried style of Redbreast. So now that you've sniffed it, what do you smell?
I don't know. This is the first time I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm smelling.
It's, there's almost a little bit of like a winey, kind of like a sherry, with some fruits. I get like a dark fruit. I don't know
dark
if it's like,
fruit.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a dark fruit. Like
a prune or a plum, maybe? I don't know. But it is a dark fruit.
Prune.
Yeah.
A prune.
Mm-hmm. Oh, prune. I thought you were asking, like, prune?
No, I That's think it's a prune.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't
pick it out.
But
it's like,
is
I can't
dark,
tell.
Yeah. It's a dark fruit. You can tell. You don't smell this. You're like some Irish whiskeys, a lot of them actually, I get green apple. I get green apple out of a lot of Irish whiskeys when I smell them. This I don't. This you definitely, you're like, oh, that's a dark fruit.
It is. All right. You heard it.
Mm. It's a good question. Something just happened with our camera there. Sorry if you lost us for a second. We're still here. We're not supposed to both taste
it
at the same time.
When I taste it, though, I get it's very malty to me.
Mm-hmm.
Very malty.
Did you chew it? Try chewing it for a minute.
Can it make me chew this?
Yeah, there's just a hint of that sherry. Just a hint of the fact that it's like a little sweetness from the sherry, but you get a lot of the pot stills and maltiness for sure.
For me.
Pot still spiciness hits you. You got a little bit of the sherry, but it's smooth like Irish whiskey normally is.
It has definitely, you can tell that it's definitely an Irish whiskey.
Yes. Yes. You can tell it's Irish. Yeah, you don't taste, you smell the prune, but you don't really taste a dark fruit or
for
prune.
For me, that maltiness really comes through in this.
Mm-hmm. Maltiness, pot still spice for me. And then the sherry, you can taste like just kind of a little bit of, not fruitiness, but it's like, oh, this, you could tell this was like aged in a
wine. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Good mouthfeel. Do you feel like it's a little drier?
A little, maybe.
Just a tiny bit. Like,
well,
maybe
a prune to me seems like a... I know we're not tasting prune, but it's like a different smell to have like on this. Mm-hmm. And then, a little bit drier.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really good. Mm-hmm.
These glasses always make like the fumes of the alcohol like, hit me in the eye every time I go to take a drink. Like,
it's really good. I just can't see anything. No, I agree. That's
what
one
did
of the
you think of it
of...
in the old fashioned?
It wasn't bad. You know, a lot of Irish whiskeys, they don't fully stand out.
They don't fully stand. There's something a little different about this. Like, yeah. I can pick out something a little different. But, an Irish whiskey is not a go-to whiskey in an old-fashioned for me because it is, like, a softer. They're softer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the best way to drink this, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Just in a glass.
Neat.
Neat. You can
possibly on the rock.
Yeah.
Rock. I say rock because it's always a big giant rock.
Just one rock.
No two.
You would just, you know, you put a little dropper of water in there if you want. If you don't want to have it cold, put a little dropper of water. But you don't need to, really, in my opinion. It's very smooth. It's definitely good. Mm-hmm. I know on the Discord, if you're not in that, sg.pn/Discord, there's a bar. And a lot of people were raving about the Redbreast 12-year. So this is not the 12-year, it's loose style, but still Redbreast is a well-known well-known whiskey, especially for Irish whiskeys.
If it's the most sold in the world.
Yeah, and you know who else loves Redbreast? Mr. Colby Dant, who's going to be on our show in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about the draft, you're gone this week.
I am.
So that's why we have our Sunday episode. It just happened to be St. Patrick's Day. So we're doing a little St. Patrick's celebration.
Great excuse to try an Irish whiskey on the show.
Exactly. So I don't think we'll have a show. I'll probably fart around with some whiskeys or some shorts and stuff like that. So just stay tuned, you know, subscribe to us, all that good stuff. Next week, we have a fantasy roundtable. It's our first where we're going to have different guests come in and talk about different fantasy football things. We got a list of questions we're going to ask them, and they'll all kind of give their opinions, maybe a little debate. We'll see how it goes.
I like some spicy debates.
Yeah. You know, somebody might come on and say like, oh, JF Field sucked and they should have got
be booted.
And then I will remove them. So then we will have a smaller group. But I'm just kidding. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. And I will just ask, why do you say that? That's all. But no, we're going to be talking about fantasy football stuff.
Is that how you'll ask it? No, I'll have to ask them. You'll just be sitting there pouting.
What the fuck is wrong with you? No, it should be a lot of fun. We're excited about that. And then April hits and it's draft time. So we're going to be talking about
this year is flying.
It is.
I feel like we're still, to me, I still feel like we're in January. Super Bowl hasn't happened yet, and we're recapping the end of the main season there. Like, I don't know what happens, but I blinked, and it's mid-March already, past mid-March.
Yeah. Speaking of Maine, there's a distillery out of Maine that makes a crab-flavored whiskey. Would you try it?
No.
They actually use crab.
Yeah, then I'll die.
No, that's lobster.
I think it's more. I don't think I ever had real crab.
You have.
No.
It's okay.
I think that restaurant sold us imitation crab cakes. That's the only time I ever tried crab was in that crab cake. And then shortly after, I had the tiniest bite of lobster that killed me. And we almost missed our vacation.
Obviously didn't kill her. She's still
almost
here.
Killed me.
Almost killed
me. I have never been that violently sick. It was such an experience. Blisters all over in my mouth. Like, it was just That's not true. Okay.
Shout out to Nick Fortune in the chat. Happy St. Patrick's Day. What's up, Nick? And then he said Caleb Williams to the Bears. Nick, go ahead and scroll back to the beginning where I already laid that all out and bitched about it.
No, Nick, since you're here.
Okay, Nick,
since you're here. Active. Do you think the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams, or do you think there's a possibility we might pass on him?
I swear, if we take Drake May, I am just going to root because for the Texans.
I
for
just
a year.
Want to remind everybody we passed on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't think they will do that. I've seen so many things that, like, there's talk that if polls would pass on Caleb Williams, he will be fired because Caleb Williams is allegedly this generational talent.
Yeah, but the Caleb Williams has been saying that he's not going to give the Bears the time of day.
I need to have you watch this highlight reel because I know you don't watch a lot of college football. Okay. I actually didn't watch a ton this year. I didn't get to. But some of the throws, you go, holy shit, that's a Patrick Mahomes throw. Because he'll do those whole things where he's getting like pushed backwards and he just goes... And it goes 60 yards down the field, or he throws it across his body that way, or no look passes, or sidearms. I hate the fact that his favorite quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. I will say that's a huge red flag, and maybe that's what threw me off of him from the beginning.
Now, the truth is out. The truth has come out. You are biased against Caleb Williams because he idolized Aaron Rodgers.
How dare you, sir? Nick said, who's the LSU quarterback? That's Jaden Daniels. So he said, Jaden Daniels or Karen Williams. I love it. He is a Karen. He's a baby. Come on, think positive thoughts. Drink your whiskey. Breathe. It'll be okay. Man. It'll be okay.
What is the date of our first round table?
The first round table. Well, that's actually a decision for you.
Oh.
Because
okay.
Miranda's birthday is on the 27th. And I didn't know if you wanted to do it a day before or a day after. So we're going to do 26th or 28th. You can think about it. We will have it on our YouTube.
27th is a Wednesday?
Yes.
Then we should probably do it on Thursday.
Thursday. All right. There you go. We already have some people lined up, some great guests. We're pulling some people in. But yeah, we got some faces you're probably going to know from our show before. But even cooler, which we're super excited to have them here, obviously. But even cooler, there's going to be some new faces that you have not seen on our show. And we get an opportunity, I guess, to hear like their side of things and see some of their content. And I think it's going to be really exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm stoked to build a little community.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
a lot
for of fun. Sure. So Nick said, have some whiskey for him. He's drinking water today. He used his muscles yesterday. That's good, Nick. It's good for you to use your muscles every now and then. Miranda, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, that this red breast was really good.
Since it's St. Patrick's Day, cilantro?
Cilantro.
Oh, it's not cilantro?
No.
Yes, as the Irish would say, cilantro. Ooh,
that was loud.
Cilantro. I always say cilantro, and my mom's like, that's not what it is. But, you know, I always have to give her shit. And my old fashion is almost gone. Going once, going twice.
Sold.